Welcome to the Be Disciples podcast with your hosts, Kyle Morris and Dakota Smith. We are continuing our study in the book of Acts. How's it going, Dakota? What's going on?
It's going well. This is Monday morning. What's today? The 10th? Yeah. We're April 10th, the day after Resurrection Sunday. Yesterday, services were packed. First service especially, we had to bring out like 20-something extra chairs, and there were people sitting up against the wall, and it was pretty crazy. But, you know, you and I were talking this morning, and just the high of coming off of Resurrection Sunday, seeing the Lord worship, seeing the people sing, seeing families get together, having the joy of preaching the Word of God to them. We are in John chapter 20. Jesus gives three resurrection appearances to the disciples, and we just covered a lot of ground, but I think overall it was a great success, and what we really want to do is show the community that we're a church that stands on the Word, and we exposit the Scriptures verse by verse, and we are excited to have everybody joining us. So it was a great time.
Yeah, it was. It was, I think, it doesn't really matter necessarily how well Sunday goes from an Easter Sunday perspective. It's about what happened. So I try to keep that perspective the whole time.
Yeah.
Just because it was great. We had lots of people here. That's a good thing. We want people to come and hear the gospel. That's why we're here, right? To share God's word and for people to be saved. You know, but it's also, for me, it was a week of reflection.
Yeah.
On the resurrection.
Yeah.
Just the elements, right? Last podcast, last week, right? We talked about the cross, and it just kind of got me in that mindset of remembering the cross and everything that he went through from the garden to the actual death and kind of the events that played out and the themes of people just denying him and denying him and denying him over and over again throughout that time. And him standing firm and knowing this is what I have to do, being obedient to the Father and just that whole process of what Jesus has done. And then to be able to think about the disciples in between the death and the resurrection and what they were thinking and just their whole life has now been
turned upside down
and all of that. And then the moment of, he's alive.
That's right.
And what that really means to them, what it meant to them, and then what they went to go do, and then now what it means to us. And so, yeah, it was just like a reflection, a remembrance. It's why we take communion.
That's right.
Because it reminds us of the blood, the new covenant. It reminds us of the body that he took to the cross. So, yeah, it's a week to be recharged spiritually in the main thing, right? Not in all the discussions of theology, but in the main thing of what Jesus came to accomplish. So,
I think you also had another amazing opportunity this last week because you got to preach, what, at the FCA bonfire, and you preached on It Is Finished. Mm-hmm. We were talking about it this morning. You know, there was a number of international students that were there, and they heard the gospel. So not just a week of reflection, but a week of bearing fruit because of that reflection. And that's what was so exciting about this last week and about Sunday services is you put all this time of reflection and study in, getting down to the main thing being the main thing. If the resurrection's true, then it's all true. If the resurrection's false, then it's all false. And you proclaim it, and then you just pray that God would have the hearts of the listeners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so let's pray, and we're going to now get back into the book of Acts, which the Acts is all about the Holy Spirit, right? The Acts of the Holy Spirit, spreading the gospel, and just taking the word to the ends of the earth. And so let's go ahead and pray.
And real quick, just one more update before we pray. We don't want to neglect this. This coming Saturday from 9 to noon, we have OBC Academy here in the gym.
April 15th.
April 15th, yep, from 9 to noon. You don't need to pre-register or anything like that, but come. We're going to study the Word together. What skills can we ascertain so we can grow in our ability to interpret a narrative genre within Scripture, and then how do we use that to make disciples? So we encourage anyone listening to this, just to remind you, please come out. If it's the first time you've heard of it and you don't know anybody, just come and study the Bible with us.
Yeah, it's free. You don't have to sign up. Just show up and come study the Word with
us. That's it.
All right, let's pray, and then we're going to get back into the book of Acts. Father, I thank you, as always, for all that you have done for us. I thank you for the resurrection, that because of the resurrection, we have assurance in all the work that you have done. And so let us continue to be at peace in knowing that, Jesus, you are sitting at the right hand of the Father, and that you will return. Be with us today as we study Acts, that you equip us, encourage us, push us forward as we learn more about spreading the gospel and the reliance on the Holy Spirit to guide us, to counsel us, to direct us in the ways of sharing God's word. That we pray that the Holy Spirit would do that this morning as we talk about Acts in this podcast. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So starting in Acts chapter 28, verse 20, we read the following, "But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" This is a desert road. "So he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning and sitting in his chariot, and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go up and join this chariot.' Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' And he said, 'Well, how could I, unless someone guides me?' And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him." And I guess that's a good place to pause just there halfway through verses 26 to 31. Initial thoughts, you know, you and I haven't even tackled this at all prior to the podcast. We're trying to let it be an organic discussion. You think of the coma method. What's the context? What's the observations we're seeing? What's the meaning of the passage? What's the application? Maybe starting with context would be a good reminder. What do you think?
Yeah, well, the very first verse stands out to me. Like, there's an angel of the Lord.
Yeah.
Like,
something supernatural.
Something supernatural. So we, you know, the Holy Spirit's with Philip, in Philip, and dwells in him, can lead him. But there's an angel of the Lord came to Philip and said to him, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza." So I just find it interesting that we see God still using angels to communicate to his people post Pentecost, post the Holy Spirit. So I find that interesting, how the communication took place right off the bat. So that kind of stands out to me.
Well, and even a little bit of pretext just from previous episodes. The last episode we did was really a Good Friday kind of episode. And then we had not had an episode maybe 3 weeks, you know, since then, just because of going on mission trips and going to Mexico and things like that. So if we remember where we were at last in Acts chapter 8, we see that they were preaching and proclaiming the gospel in all of Samaria. And then we also see this whole issue with Simon the magician and his problems. And then prior to that, you know, you see at the very beginning of chapter 8, you see that Saul was the one who gave hearty agreement to persecute believers and to stone Stephen. And prior to that, of course, was Stephen's sermon. So the gospel is being proclaimed regardless of positive outcome or negative outcome. That's something that I kind of just now saw. Regardless of positive or negative outcome, the gospel is being proclaimed no matter what. Negative outcome, Stephen lost his life for it and other believers were persecuted. Positive outcome, well, the church was still growing. Negative outcome, Simon the magician tries to take advantage or, you know, manipulate the situation by having the power of the apostles. But the church is still growing. And then here, you know, you have the angel of the Lord. Actually, it says an angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord might be different. But you still have this supernatural leading and prompting by God for the gospel to be proclaimed. And I think that's key to remembering where we're at in Acts. Like, yes, it's the church's job to proclaim it, but Jesus also promised that the Spirit would prompt the church to do it.
Yeah, well, let's think about where Philip's at. Man, he just saw tons of cool stuff happen, right? Peter and John just came along. People were saved and dwelt by the Holy Spirit. Spiritual gifts were being seen. I mean, lots of excitement. And this is how in Samaria, right? A place that was, you know, I don't know, the almost like a college rival to the Jews, right? Like, they just didn't like each other.
That's right.
And so Philip then gets told to go. Hey, leave this excitement and go to a desert place. What? Like, Well, that doesn't sound very fun, God. Why would you send me away from all this growth and all this that is happening? Why would you send me away from all this excitement of what you're doing? So there's clearly a purpose to what God is doing, telling Philip to leave where he's currently at and to go somewhere else. So what does Philip do? Well, we know from our passage that he leaves.
Mm-hmm.
So there is submission that takes place.
Yeah.
Philip submits to God's plan.
That's right.
For this mission. Instead of saying, God, I don't want to go. This is exciting. I love what's going on here. It's growth. People are being saved.
Yeah.
I could be here.
Yeah.
He doesn't do that.
Yeah.
The Lord says, Philip, I need you to go to this other place for me. And Philip goes,
Okay. Well, Acts 1:8, we're seeing that Acts 1:8 is a roadmap for the rest of this book. So go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and what comes after Samaria? The ends of the earth. And I find it really unique here that, yes, they've been in Samaria. Yes, there's been a lot of success. But it's even more amazing that the gospel is now reaching places like Ethiopia. They didn't go to Ethiopia, but he was reaching an Ethiopian.
Mm-hmm.
And that just shows that all the nations, like, as far away as they could think, somewhat, you know, the gospel is even reaching, and it's reaching influential people. And that kind of reminded me of just the experience you had this last week. How many different international students did you share the gospel with, you know, at this FCA bonfire?
I mean, we had people from England, Italy, some South American countries. So, I mean, there was plenty of different people, different languages being represented.
That's amazing.
There. And so to be able to share the gospel to who knows where that's going to take somebody,
mm-hmm.
the belief in Jesus, going back home to another country. I mean, that's why we do the college ministry.
That's right.
The college ministry isn't some sort of like financially lucrative ministry. Like you're not going to get a bunch of tithing college students.
No.
Like, so to even have that mindset would be ridiculous.
Right.
The purpose of reaching college students is because they're going to be sent out into the world. And we have an international student base here in Ottawa, Kansas, where they're going to go back home. And these students are going to hear the gospel. Hopefully, their lives are radically changed. And then they go back home and tell their family and their mm-hmm. friends. So our mindset is living sent. If we live sent down the street to a campus, we're actually then propelling students to go out around the world and share the gospel. So that's, you know, that's God's plan here in Acts.
Mm-hmm.
Send, send, send.
Yeah.
That's our mission here at Ottawa Bible Church. We're literally sitting next to a sign on this desk of our podcast that says, live sent, make mature and multiply with the Great Commission passage of Matthew 28:18-20. So that's what we do here at Ottawa Bible Church. I think that's what Christians of all churches are called to do, is to live the Great Commission. So reaching college students, going to the ends of the earth, it's just part of what the Bible tells us to do, and we need to be obedient to that.
I think, and you know, maybe this is going to be a longer discussion than I thought, but it's really fruitful, and here's why. Churches, if they're not careful, they can get into trouble by building a framework of thinking which says, we really want to reach young families and young families only. Now, should you go after families and young families? Yes, because you're hitting multiple generations at once and you're seeking to change multiple generations. Totally true. But if you confine your thinking to that, you're in trouble because now you've forgotten the older generations. Now you have forgotten the international students. You're not fulfilling Acts 1:8. You're just staying within, you know, maybe you could say your Jerusalem. So we can't confine ourselves to just one type of demographic, but it's reaching them all. Listen, by reaching the Ethiopian eunuch, Philip reached Ethiopia, and he didn't even go there. So just like you were preaching, you know, to a student who is from England, well, metaphorically, through that student, you went to England. You also went to Italy. You went to these South American countries. And that's what's exciting about what's happening in the book of Acts, is the gospel is becoming pervasive. And you know this Ethiopian eunuch. Just by what the rest of the story has to say, he's going to go home and he's going to have an influence. He's going to have an impact.
Yeah. The other part I want to point out is that Philip's on board. He's listening to God.
You're right on. Yeah.
Right. He's listening to God.
There's an enthusiasm.
He's going. Hey, you want me to go to some desert place, Gaza?
Okay.
Oh, sure. Let's go. Let's go do it. Because I know what you're going to do, Lord, because I've witnessed it. Mm-hmm. I've seen it with my own eyes, yeah. What you would do. I'll go to any desert place because you'll still send me somebody.
Yeah.
So Philip goes and he's pumped and he knows I'm looking out for whoever, mm-hmm. right? I'm looking out for whoever needs to hear the gospel.
Whoever's willing.
Yeah. And so because I think Philip is in prayer, I think he's seeking the Lord's will in this mission. When an opportunity comes, mm-hmm. the Ethiopian, mm-hmm. and the Spirit speaks to Philip and says, go over there. Philip's like, okay. Mm-hmm. He's looking for it. He's seeking out the Lord's will in it. There's so much application for us today in this passage because I challenge students, I challenge people all the time. Are you praying for opportunities?
That's right.
And I say that because what you're really praying for is to know God's will. I want to know God's will for what's going to happen today. Mm-hmm. I want to know God's will for sharing the gospel to people that you're calling me to. I want to know God's will and plan for this little piece of my life. I want to know it. I want to live it. And when you're in that mindset, your eyes are open. The Lord speaks to you and says, that person right there.
That's right. You start feeling prompted and led.
Yeah, and I know both of us have experienced those moments where you're sitting in a coffee shop and the Lord's tapping you on the shoulder and goes, hey, that person over there needs to know me, mm-hmm. and I want you to be the one to tell them. And you're like, you either do one of two things. You either go, I'm too busy.
Right.
And I don't want to inconvenience that person. I know I go there. I'm guilty, mm-hmm. right? I've talked about that many times. Or you say, okay, Lord, clearly you've got a plan.
That's right.
Because I've been asking for this. I've been seeking the will of the Lord. I've been wanting this to happen.
Amen.
I've been aligning my desires with God's desires. So I'm going to go over there and talk to that person. So I think Philip is in that place where he is actively seeking God. And because of that, he is bold and he's willing to go.
You and I have had this discussion multiple times in the last 2 weeks about John chapter 6, the passage where Jesus says, and I think it's 665, but I can't remember the verse exactly, but Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him. And there's a lot of debate as to whether that's saying the Father regenerates the person or whether that's saying the Father brings you to the point of believing and then are regenerated. And we're not going to have that debate and that discussion right now in this episode. But the fact of the matter is this: God the Father initiates the process of salvation by wooing a person's heart. God the Father is the one who courts that person's heart, so to speak, to draw them to himself so that they are prepared to hear the gospel and respond. Now, a thought that I just now had that I've never really had before is typically I only think of God the Father, you know, like just he in an isolated sense drawing a person. And I think that's true. But I also think that God the Father also can woo and draw people's hearts by the preaching and the proclamation of people who already know the gospel, and then God used that to kind of kickstart the prompting and the drawing. And I think what's happening here is Philip is being used with an individual who's already reading the word of God, but now he kind of fills in that process. So God uses people also with the proclamation of the gospel to draw people's hearts to him as well. So maybe I'm making too much of that, but I think the fact of the matter is how will they hear if no one is sent, right? How will they believe if nothing's preached?
Yeah, I have it underlined in my Bible. So I'm looking through 1 Corinthians.
Oh, what are you looking for? 1 Corinthians what?
Where Paul says to preach the word. I'm pretty sure it's in 1 Corinthians.
Oh, or do you mean
it
like
could be in Romans, actually.
In season, out of season?
No, right here. I think it's in Romans chapter 10. Here it says, because I have underlined, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Yeah, how beautiful are the feet of those who...
But then he says in 15, and how are they to preach unless they are sent?
Yeah.
Well, it says before that, and how are they to hear without someone preaching?
That's right.
And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard?
Yeah.
Like Paul says all of these things, like you can't just mm-hmm. not go tell people the gospel. Mm-hmm. Like you can't just not use your words that God has told you clearly. to go if it's people who hear and who call. So in these moments, even if we're looking at the Ethiopian here in Acts, we see him studying scripture, yes, or looking at it, reading it. Now, can God supernaturally give the Ethiopian the meaning of the passages? Yes.
Yeah.
I believe he could.
Yep.
But what does God do instead? What he's already called his people to do. Philip, go talk to that person.
Use the scriptures.
Yeah.
By the way.
Uh-huh. And
help them understand the scriptures.
Mm-hmm. Teach them my word.
This is truly one-to-one Bible reading.
Yeah. And so it's like...
Which is what the academy is all about.
Right. Whenever we have examples in scripture of God using his people to do exactly what he commissioned them to do, mm-hmm, we cannot get away from these examples.
Yeah.
We cannot use theology, a study of theology, to sway us away from the practical things that God has done in scripture and to follow. Like, we have to stick to doctrine and stick to the word.
Yeah.
Whenever we come up with something that changes the way we view an evangelistic opportunity, mm-hmm, or a discipleship opportunity, we have to be so careful, because we see in the book of Acts,
yeah,
preaching of God's word, yeah, sharing the gospel, and one-to-one Bible reading.
Yeah.
So maybe, just maybe, not even maybe for me, for sure, this is what we should be doing as Christians.
Well, what you're referencing is that theology is not meant to be studied and then kept on the shelf.
Right.
What you're saying is that theology is meant to be studied and then lived out. And I would even argue that if you're someone who just merely studies theology, but it impacts none of your life practically, then actually that's actually poor theology.
Well, it's just knowledge.
Right. It's just knowledge. A rich theology would say, I'm going to take these golden nugget-like truths of God's word, and I'm going to do something with it. I'm going to allow it to challenge me and change my heart and mature me in the faith.
Yeah.
Like, Lord, help me not to have orthodoxy without orthopraxy.
Yeah. Well, even when you think about higher levels of thinking, and you just think about that in a non-biblical sense, knowledge is the bottom rung. Mm-hmm. So if knowledge is the bottom rung and you just keep gaining knowledge and gaining knowledge, but you do nothing with the knowledge, you never take it into another place where you're actually applying it, analyzing it. Now we're talking like Bloom's taxonomy here, but we're getting up, right? We're learning and using the material. Like, if you're never going beyond that, the Bible shows you how to do that. Mm-hmm. It's actually playing all of that out for you, mm-hmm, so you can look and go, well, Philip did it, and the Spirit led Philip, and Philip sat down with this person and read the Bible with them. Huh.
Yeah.
Well, if that's the example in Scripture, that should probably be what my life should look like.
I got to tell you, sometimes being led by the Spirit is kind of maybe illustrated this way. If you've ever been to the ocean, and, you know, you're sitting maybe waist deep in the ocean, and you've ever just wanted to be floating, and you allow the waves to carry you. You don't fight against the waves, but you allow the waves to carry you, especially if you're trying to surf or boogie board or something to that extent, if you're getting deeper in. But I think as we consider our obedience to the Lord, we first have to ask ourselves, am I fighting against the Spirit and closing my ears off against what he has to say? Or am I going to be the person who waits upon the moving and prodding of the Spirit, and am I going to follow him? Mm-hmm. And that's the most adventurous Christian life you could ever have, is when you're, honestly, you're just waiting around for the Lord to use you. And then when he says it and prods you, you go and you do it. So all that being said, that's 26 to 31. We pick it up now in the second half, 32 all the way to 40. And we maybe due to time, we might go a little faster in these verses. But verse 32, now the passage of scripture which he was reading was this: he was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. And of course, we know that's an excerpt from Isaiah 53. Verse 34, the eunuch answered Philip and said, please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. What a beautiful phrase. As they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. So 32 to 40, we see the outcome of Philip's going.
Yeah. Here's an example of reading the Bible first with somebody and then them coming to know Jesus. So one of the questions, you know, I think I've always seen these like step-by-step processes of sharing the gospel and step-by-step processes of discipleship. You know, you can go to websites, Billy Graham, mm-hmm. Crew, these college campuses. They have tons of these cool diagrams that are very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Systematic and helps you to have like some benchmarks to share.
Yeah, and I think all those things are good. So I'm not knocking those things.
Yeah.
I just think sometimes that process of evangelism and discipleship blends.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is sometimes we think discipleship is only something that happens after conversion. Now, yeah, I mean, that's generally true.
Yeah, I know what you're getting at.
But what I'm getting at is usually when you're discipling somebody, you're sitting down and reading the Bible with them and you're trying to, you know, you're having conversation like we are now. Mm-hmm. And you're helping them learn about who their Lord is. Mm-hmm. Now, I think there's an opportunity evangelistically to be doing the same thing,
yeah,
to be helping somebody understand God's word to then become saved. So it's almost like the process overlaps in practical sense,
yeah,
not in salvific sense, but just in practical sense. Hey, if I just meet with somebody and I meet them for the first time and I share the gospel and they're interested in just meeting and reading the Bible, they don't have to accept Jesus in that moment.
They don't. In fact, that doesn't even need to be a concern of yours that you feel the need to force right away, unless, of course, you see an open door.
Yeah, but, and then we've talked the importance of follow-up. Hey, let's meet for coffee. Mm-hmm. Before you meet for coffee, text them, hey, remember we're meeting tomorrow. Meet, open your Bible, and just read God's word. And so through God's word, you're evangelizing to somebody. Mm-hmm. And in that process, like the eunuch, they become saved with knowledge of scripture, mm-hmm, and God's word, and now they want to learn more because of who they call Lord. So God's word can be used evangelistically.
Yes.
And I think sometimes, at least I know in my experience growing up, that wasn't always said to me. I always heard, go share the gospel. And obviously the gospel comes from God's word, but no one ever said, take your Bible with you and sit down with somebody and read it with somebody. That was never said to me.
Yeah, what's the method or vehicle that I'm supposed to accomplish this?
Yeah, and so knowing now that's like, I don't have to like have it all in my head, but I can just carry the God's word with me. At least here in America, I can freely. Yeah. I can go to a coffee shop and have the Bible open, and I'm really not that afraid. Like, even if someone came up to me and said, what you're studying is false and blah, 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 and they walked away, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, moving on. Like, I'll pray for that person, and I hope that God changes their heart. But like, I'm not too concerned about that. But I love that in here we have, in the Bible, it shows us that Philip used scripture to evangelize.
So just maybe to clear the air just a little bit, if you're a listener and you're unaware of who we are or where we come from, what you're saying theologically is not that justification by faith is a progressive thing. You're not saying that you believe justification is progressive, like the Catholic Church would say that justification, being saved, is progressive. You're saying that justification is instantaneous.
Yes.
A person instantly becomes saved, born again, the moment they choose to believe. However, what you are saying is, in practicality, if you sit down with someone and you read the Bible with him, that almost doesn't need to be your concern, because the Spirit of God is going to do that when the Spirit of God is moving and that person comes to believe. We need to be concerned about them getting saved. That's not what we're saying. What we do need to say is, we don't need to stop it. Okay, I got you to say a prayer. We're done. We don't have to meet again. Cool. I saw you come into the kingdom. No, it's like, I'm going to meet with you before you're saved. I'm going to meet with you when you get saved. I'm going to meet with you after you get saved. And I may not even know the exact moment that you were saved, but I'm going to keep committing to you and investing in you as a person.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much all I said in a nutshell.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just think what is a better way than sharing the gospel than by using God's word?
Right. There is no better.
There is no better way.
When you preach God's word, there's a time and a place to certainly do that, but it doesn't always guarantee that you're going to meet with the person afterwards. But this format where you sit down with someone and you study the Bible with them, you let the Holy Spirit do his thing, but you keep a committed relationship with them so that if they have questions they can continue to ask. It's so easy for somebody to hear the gospel, walk away, and what happened to that seed? You get snatched up by the enemy. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I feel like we can sow better seed in better soil to multiply its growth if we just stick around in that person's life.
Yeah. Honestly, and this is an encouragement to anybody going to church members or just the church in general, when you go on Sunday and you hear a sermon and you know there's somebody new sitting there, like you now have something that you've both sat in together that you can go meet that person and ask them, hey, what'd you think of the sermon? And maybe they're like, you know what? I think I have some questions and I'm not too sure. I mean, I thought it was good, but stuff to think about. What an opportunity to be like, hey, well, do you want to get coffee this week and talk about the sermon?
Yeah. But that's an opportunity to follow up is right there in front of you.
Yeah. And so you have an opportunity each and every week to meet even new people that walk into the building that you meet in as a church, and then to just be able to evangelize to people right there. So I think that's like step one. That's kind of hopefully you're comfortable enough to invite people to coffee at church. And then that kind of grows from there. Just finding new ways to use God's word, to invite people to read God's word. I think that is a good place to start.
As we start to close up on this passage, and I know we took the second half of it at a much faster pace than we did the first, but I think this is really great practical application. Just a couple bullet points, and then maybe we can close here. Again, that phrase, beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. That's bullet point number one. Then you also see the eunuch wanting to be baptized, and then, of course, Philip says, well, if you believe with all your heart, you may, meaning he believed in believer's baptism. You don't get into the water and then become a believer. You become a believer and then get into the water to proclaim that you're a believer.
Yep.
And then the last thing is I think, of course, the Holy Spirit snatches Philip away, which I still don't fully know the significance of that. I just think it's amazing that the Spirit began the process, the Spirit ends the process, and then what's the outcome? He continues to pass through Azotus, and he kept on preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea.
Yep.
So preaching Jesus, faith comes prior to baptism, and the continuation of the Spirit's work even after the fact. Philip doesn't give up, and he's not satisfied with one encounter.
Yeah, I think it's also encouraging to know that did Philip then spend days, months, years discipling the Ethiopian? Doesn't sound like it.
No.
Right? Doesn't sound like it. Now, as shepherds, as pastors, mm-hmm. you know, our goal is to do that long-term with people. Mm-hmm. And I think if you're living in a community and part of a church, I think you should do that. But there's also those times as pastors where we're discipling somebody and something takes them away or takes us away.
Yeah, good segue. This is a great, great discussion.
And so when that happens, I think there's a trust that has to take place in the Lord. There's opportunity, hopefully, in that moment where you've discipled that person to a point where they're discipling people, or you have discipled them to a point where they know they have to find somebody else to continue that discipleship process. And so we get sent, right? Philip gets sent to move on. We're all hopefully going to be sent in some way, shape, or form, and we're not always going to be in these long-term discipleship relationships. But the Spirit of the Lord is the one in control, is the one guiding. And so Philip then goes and continues to live sent because that's what the Lord has for him.
Yeah, this is really interesting. I'm just looking at a map because I'm wanting to see how much space there is from Gaza to Jerusalem, because obviously the Ethiopian, did the text say he's coming back from Jerusalem or he's headed to Jerusalem? I should know that, but get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he got up and went. There was Ethiopian eunuch, court official Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning and sitting in his chariot. Okay, so he's on his way home.
Yeah.
But Gaza is about, 70 miles or so from Jerusalem. So he's already traveled about 70 miles in his chariot, right? That's taken all day. And then to get all the way to Ethiopia, he probably had another couple of days of a journey to go. Mm-hmm. So I think you're right to the extent that you can't always follow someone. But the text also doesn't say that there was a certain amount of time that Philip spent with the Ethiopian.
Yeah, it doesn't.
I mean, how long did it take for him, beginning from Isaiah 53, to preach Jesus to him? Could have been a couple of hours, right? We just read it in a few moments. But nevertheless, enough was given to this man who was asking questions where he could go home. Philip felt comfortable, and the Spirit felt confirmed in it that the Spirit picked him up and sent him somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah, and we have to recognize that's going to happen in our relationships with people, is that God's going to move them and send them, and they're going to go. And I think we have to be prepared for that. I think we can allow our connection with people, especially in Christ, to kind of get us down sometimes. Like, man, I really love that person. I love that person in my life, and I've been discipling them, and now God sent them halfway across the world.
Yeah.
And that can be hard sometimes if we really get to know them. And not that Philip knew the Ethiopian very well, and they didn't have necessarily a super strong long-term relationship. But the reality is that that's going to happen at times. And we have to be in a place where we're excited for what God is doing to see that person and see them go. Because we're not going to disciple someone our whole lives. That's just not going to happen. Now, we may be in touch with that person and keep up with that person in some way, and especially today with all the modes to do that. But I think we have to be in that process, just willing to surrender to the Lord and be excited that the time that you spent with them led to an opportunity to live sent, because that's really the goal.
We have a friend here named Logan, and Logan was with us for, 2.5 years as a student, continued on in his master's degree program here at Ottawa University, played baseball, and then he went back home to Oregon. And, it was sad to see him go, but at the same time, like for the rest of his life, he's going to remember a time he had in the Word of solid fellowship. And hopefully, you know, we're just using Logan as an example. Hopefully, regardless of the highs or lows in life, he will always have a reference point. Man, when I was reading my Bible and I was studying it with these guys and I was in church and in fellowship, my life was really healthy. And I'm using him as an example, because not every student will go home and necessarily just continue to be on fire. Some students will be reminded of what life used to be like prior to Christ, and then they'll be like, you know what? I need to get back to following the Lord. So even when people go, even if they drop off or they keep ascending, the point of the matter is that they had an experience with you that's going to change their life in the long term for the rest of that trajectory. Lord willing.
Yeah, and we've got lots of students who are Daniel up in Iowa now. He was involved in FCA at Ottawa University. And now I saw him a couple months back, pictures online of him teaching at FCA at another college
Praise
up there.
God. Yeah.
Like, it's cool to see, like, people invested in him. And a lot of people invested in him. And now he's going investing in others. Like, you're like,
Yeah.
The fruit.
That's why we're doing
fruit of the labor. So it's cool to see God moving and using people and just to be a part of it. That's what I think. I mean, I think Philip was excited. I get to be a part of this. Yeah. I get to be a part of God's plan. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even care how he uses me. Mm-hmm. I'm just excited to be a part of God's plan. And I think we should all be excited to be a part of God's plan. No matter how it ends in this life, we know that we are secure eternally through Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's something that should stir our heart every day. God, make me a part of your plan today.
Amen.
And help me to be willing.
Amen. Well, thanks for listening to the Be Disciples podcast. We hope that this helps you as you engage with people one-on-one in studying God's Word. We'll continue in the book of Acts and continuing to just discuss the Bible as we do pretty much each and every day. But it's an honor to just talk about it, record it, and to be able to reach you guys listening. And so I hope that you're encouraged by it. Have a blessed week.